Psalm 23. So last Sunday, we had what I call a landmark sermon. That is never a sermon that is intended to be a landmark sermon. Those always fall flat. I've been in my study before and go, oh wow, Billy Graham Association is going to call me, I'm going to be full-time, wow. When this hits, it's going to change the world. And I've had others, Lord, is that all I got? And then, you know, the next thing, you know, oh wow, Brother Ben, his best sermon ever and all this jazz. Last Sunday, three chairs. Those of you that were able to be here, you remember. Those of you that weren't, you need to hear this. Number one, you can go to BethelOndale.com and you can hear that message, and I'm encouraging you to do it. Brad shared with you that too many times we're this person. There's three chairs, but we're not in any one of those chairs. We're just watching. If you will, this is the person that checks off their list. I went to church. I'm good. And even though, praise God, they're coming, we're asking all of you not to be that person. We're asking you to get in a chair. Chair number one, I'm listening. I'm growing. I need what you've got type thing. Chair number two, I'm listening to somebody pour into me, but now I'm pouring into them. This is the Sunday school teacher. This is the Awana leader. But this is also the parent that's teaching their child about Christ. This is the factory worker that's talking to the person next to him on either side about what they're learning. You are you're receiving and you're pouring into. And then this is the person that's just pouring. And that's all well and good for a time. But if you don't let someone pour into you, grow stale. And before you know it, you go shallow. I know that for experience. Church, it's extremely important that I get my feed from somewhere. I've had people ask me, how come you got so many books? Because I got people that need to hear. And folks, I love it when someone gives me a book. I love it when I go to Lifeway bookstore. I usually lose $100, or the church does. But it's extremely important. I've got to put stuff in to give out. So let me share with you. Sunday, after Brad's message, man, I'm telling you, Holy Spirit got after me. 91.5. I'm listening. Sunday afternoon, and I heard a story that will change your life if you'll let it. And I told First Service, we may or may not get to the message. This is good stuff. Focus on the family. This is a lady, Kim Meeker, and her husband travel the nation, but they rescue horses, and they rescue people. And they use their horses to help the troubled teens that come to their ranch. And so she's infectious when she talks. I mean, she's just one of these bubbly folks. She just spills all over. And so they basically gave her the microphone, and she just exploded on the microphone the stories that God has for her. The message today is new ground. Psalm 23, and yes, I have preached this message this year. I have, but it's the message God pointed me to for today. So Kim Meeker is preparing a seminar that her and her husband is going to be doing, and she needed picture frames. Now watch this. Three things she says in her relationship that she has discovered that God wants from her. Ask me, meaning from Kim to God. Ask me what I want you to do. So she does. God, what do you want me to do today? Listen and obey. Church, wow, there's a discipleship level right there. What do you want me to do today, Lord? Listen. And God's going to speak to you 99.5 times out of His Word. This is what I want you to do today. And then obey. So on this particular day, she needed some picture frames for this seminar she's going to be doing. So she said, Lord, where do you want me to get my picture frames from? Goodwill. And she said, I love Goodwill. It's like a garage sale every day. So she goes to Goodwill, and she goes up to the picture frames, and she picks out her picture frames, and she's fixing to go to the checkout. And God says, not yet. She's like, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I got the picture. Not yet. So she thought, more shopping. So she goes and does some more shopping, and she thinks, Okay, now, Lord? Not yet. She does some more shopping. Finally, on the third request, yep, time to go. She goes to the checkout counter, and nobody's there. And she's in front, and there's some other folks in line. And all of a sudden, this person blows up into the store, hollering and complaining and fussing and griping. She's obviously the clerk. And she comes into the thing. In other words, she goes behind the counter, and she's yelling at Kim. I'm so sick and tired of people not doing their responsibility. And I mean, she's... And Kim's with her picture frames like, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do. And she starts checking her out. And the lady brought her, what do you do for a living? I go around talking about hope. Well, that's a good thing. It's what we need around here, some more hope. And then Kim said, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, point blank her on what I'm doing in your life. And so she looked at this clerk and said, ma'am, can I just share with you what God's doing in my life? Sure. About 15 years ago, I watched my father murder my mother and then shoot himself. And of course, that changed things. And all of a sudden, she had this lady's rapt attention. And shortly after that, I came to faith in Christ, and me and my husband have been traveling the nation ever since, telling people about the hope of Jesus Christ. Tears. I've never told anyone this before in my life, the clerk said. At 12 years of age, I watched my mother kill herself. I've never known what to do with that. And they hugged, and of course, Kim shared the gospel with her. New ground. New ground. You and I have got to be willing to go to new ground. Now, disclaimer, don't none of you worry. I can shout louder than Brother Thomas. If I'd have hit my head, I'd be screaming too, Lane. Don't you worry about it. So, watch this, guys. I'm going to go to my notes here. If you have not been, is it, Brother Benjamin? If you have never been to Bethel Baptist Church in the last 2 years at a January, February time, you've missed out on the tithing messages. Yeah. Watch this. And I know we've got some new folks. I know that. We need you to hear that material. We've got it on BethelLonedale.com, January 23rd, 2017, Getting a Handle on Life. January 29th, 2017, The Biblical Doctrine of the Tithe. February the 5th, Does the New Testament Support the Old Testament Principle of the Tithing? February the 12th, More Excuses. If you will go and avail yourself to those messages and come and tell me, I won't have to preach them this year. Yeah. If nobody comes and tells me, we might have to go through it. Here's the point. We have an amazing tool called BethelLonedale.com, and you can go and you can hear messages on there. If you've never heard these messages on tithing, we need you. If you call Bethel Baptist Church your home church, we need you to know what we believe about tithing. Even more important than that, we need you to know what God believes about tithing. And we encourage you to do that. So now let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, new ground. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. New ground. Now, David is the shepherd. David was a shepherd, of course, over his father's sheep for many years. It's how he, if you will, broke into Israel's life when he stood before Goliath. The only, if you will, main reason that he could stand in confidence to Goliath is because what God had done with him in the shepherd fields with the sheep, when he saved the lives of his sheep, of his father's sheep, he offered his own life to defeat the bear and the lion. And he knew that if God wanted him to defeat Goliath, he could. He was willing to go to new ground. And David writes this psalm from a sheep's perspective. David didn't write it from a shepherd's perspective, even though he could have. He wrote it from a sheep's. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And here it is. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Every phrase, every line of this psalm comes out of the sheep pasture. Every line. And this line has to do with the sheep being taken to new ground. Got to get to my notes here, or we're going to be here a while. Here we go. So why new ground is necessary? Well, sheep are creatures of habit. They like to do the same thing over and over and over. Sound like somebody you know. Communal. They like to be around other sheep. Undiscerning. If they're not careful, they're extremely undiscerning. They just start eating, they'll just keep on eating, even if there's poisonous weeds right in front of them. They're fearful. All the predator has to do is show himself, and here they go. And if the shepherd is not around, they get fearful and they hurt themselves, which are all reasons why sheep need a shepherd. So how do these character traits hinder a healthy Christian life? So to answer that, ladies and gentlemen, to answer how do these character traits hinder a healthy Christian life, we have to first establish what is a healthy Christian life. Well, again, this isn't anything new. You've heard this time and time again. I'm asking you to hear again for the first time. First and foremost, to have a healthy Christian life, you and I need to glorify God and love Him forever. He needs to be who we get our significance and security from. To glorify God and love Him forever. To make Him famous. That is our goal in life, is to make Jesus famous. In a sermon I preached many, many years ago, Working Your Way to the Bottom, this line is in that sermon, and it's the line that I remember over all other lines in that sermon, and that is that in Christianity, Jesus is the superstar. Jesus is the only one that deserves center stage. All the rest of us are working the ropes to pull the curtain back so that people can see Jesus in our lives. Make Him famous. To have a vibrant love relationship with Him that is real and personal. Folks, when you wake up, it ought to be good morning, Jesus. And when you go to bed, it should be good night, Jesus. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. What four actions best facilitate this lifestyle? If anybody within the sound of my voice is fixing to hear something you've never heard before, I need you to talk to me because I'm not doing my job. The four things that best facilitate this lifestyle are Bible study, prayer, holy living, sharing your faith. We've talked it, talked it, talked it. We need to live it. We need to live it. Going to new ground. Have you ever asked this question? What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Church, when I was a kid, a young man, 15 to 18 type, I struggled with this question almost every week. Why am I here? Monday through Saturday. Why am I here? On Sunday, I'd go and hear this guy named Dwayne Kingston preach, and I'd say amen to Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'd say amen to God is the purpose of your life. I'd say amen to Matthew 28:18 and following, that is the call upon our lives. But then Monday through Saturday, why am I here? Church, hear me, please. I was not letting Sunday influence the rest of my life. And in college, it started. Actually, it started in high school. It was during that time. What is the purpose? My purpose in life? That God was calling me to stop the worldly influences in my life. Church, I'm not against TV. I'm not against electronics. I'm not against music. I am against you feeding yourself daily from the world. And it will destroy you. And the Holy Spirit was calling me out of AC/DC's Hell's Bells. The Holy Spirit was calling me out of Loverboy's Gang in the Streets. The Holy Spirit was calling me out of Judas Priest's songs. And he was calling me out of all that stuff. And it wasn't until I purged my heart and mind with, I must tell Jesus, and all those songs that I had in my heart. I purged, and I say I, God purged my heart and soul from those worldly influences. And watch this, now all of a sudden I could hear God a lot better. And I started growing. And then in college, I started realizing he wants me to read his word. He wants me to spend time in this book. And then I'll never forget it. I surrendered to preach. And I heard that they were doing a mission trip at Belize. I was like, I want to go. And they said, we need 10 young preacher boys to go with us. Sign me up. And they're like, wait a minute, we got about 30 applicants. Well, now all of a sudden it's a competition. Sign me up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And here we go. And I had to pass application processes. I had to do interviews and all this jazz. And they picked me. Well, that blessed me. It did. But watch this. I never will forget the first time that I walked up to a dugout canoe. This was a tree, every bit as tall as this spot right here. Somebody had laid it over and dug it out for a boat. And then that guy put a motor on it. And I'm like, you want me to get in that? In, as Brad talked about, piranha-infested waters. I was smart enough not to swim with them, and I'm teasing. But watch this. You want me to get in that? Yeah, get in the boat. And we got in the boat, and we put all of our equipment in this boat, and we went down rivers, and then we got into the ocean, and we showed up at this village. 200 houses. And now we're going to show this Jesus film to the Gerenigu people about how to come to Jesus. And this is what they said. Boys, you can't speak their language. But the kids in these groups, they know English. And if the kids come to you, you hand out the tracts, and then you ask them, do they want to be saved? And if they say yes, you say, read the tract. And at the end, you offer to pray the sinner's prayer. Church, listen to me. I had maybe at this point in my life witnessed to 4 or 5 people. Maybe. I was 20 years old. So after the first showing in Belize, the city, there was 600 or better people that came to this showing. And 50 kids came to me. And I just started handing out tracts. And every one of those kids got a tract. I said, okay, read the tract. And this is what they did. They read, flipped the page. Read. And almost simultaneously, the 50 kids lifted their heads up and looked at me. And I said, do you want, and why do we talk louder when somebody, we think that, do you want to be saved? You know, open your heart up, Jesus come in. And they went, do you want me to pray with you? Let's pray. Why do we always do that? Let's pray. So they did this. And we prayed the sinner's prayer. They looked up at me with big old smiles on their faces, and they were fixing to hit the road to go talk to their parents or whatever. I said, whoa, we're supposed to count. And they all just stood there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. 50 kids came to know Christ right then and there. Watch this. So at the at the little afterglow thing. Okay, John, how many did you have to pray the prayer? About 10. Oh, wow, praise God. Woo-hoo. All right, Joe, how many did you have to pray the prayer? About 5 or 6. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, Ben, how many? 50? What? Yeah, they questioned my integrity. I don't know if it's because they thought maybe they could take me. I don't know. But they all came around, and I shared the gospel. I did what you told me to do, and there was 50. And then, praise God, we had a great time. Watch this. First time in my life anything like that ever happened. Then I came to a little church called Bethel Baptist Church for my internship, and I got introduced to John Smith. John Searcy Smith. And John was all about souls. And I learned from him that it was about the gospel. And then I came as his youth director, and he discipled me that life is about sharing the gospel, making Jesus famous. Listen to me, church. New ground. New ground. I had never had it as a discipline to share the gospel. And you know the rest of the story. I went to Temple Baptist Church for 2 years, and I was the person that shared the gospel in the invitation time. And I don't know how many people I prayed the prayer with after sharing the gospel in 3 minutes. It's about the gospel. So needless to say, this lifestyle is going to take you places, require continual education, a willingness to form new friendships, and a bold approach. So remember that question. Why do the character traits of a sheep hinder a healthy Christian life? Well, sheep like to do the same thing over and over. They like to eat the same areas. They like to get there the same way. And they do not change once their situation begins to deteriorate. So the results are rutted ground, feces infested ground, and all the results that can come from that. No new challenges that promote health. So this verse points out in vivid detail why the shepherd takes sheep to new ground. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be new ground in 2018. And I want to encourage you to be as that sheep, not with a leash around your throat and the shepherd pulling you into that new ground, but you be that sheep that he's finally bought in, that every time the shepherd opens the gate, that means there's new opportunities for the glory of the Lord, and you jump up and down and you run through that gate with glee. For the same reasons in our lives, our shepherd will take us to new ground for our righteousness' sake. New opportunities, new jobs, new ministries, new family members, new relationships, new challenges, and the list goes on. Well, how to accept this new ground? First of all, take inventory. Church, where are you at? Are you on fire? Are you excited about what God has for you? Are you looking for new opportunities? You are his child and you are his. He has your best at heart. Your best life is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Happiness is elusive. Living your life to the glory of God is achievable. I got 3 amens. Living your life to the glory of God is achievable. Thank you. Because you thought he's just going to keep saying that till we all say amen. So we might as well jump in now. Watch this, church. I preached this message once already this year. And in my notes, I had an illustration that no longer fits because it's a new day. But I've got an illustration that fits this. God's will in your life is achievable. A few months ago, I sold a sorghum mill. These sorghum mills are heavy. The top is 100 pounds, the bottom is 100 pounds, and there's several hundred pounds in between. But those pieces are a lot smaller. They're not a big deal. The top piece was elevated. It wasn't as big of a deal. The bottom piece is on the ground. Now, I should have called Brad. I should have called Craig. I should have called 5 other people. They were busy. I can do it. I can do it. So you know what I did? I lifted that first one and got it to where it needed to go and thought, that's not a big deal. I did that all right. But now that last one is on the ground. And so this is what I did. I pulled up my pants. Like, you ought to do that or bad things can happen. I grabbed that last piece and I went, ooh. I stepped back. I scratched my head. Pulled my phone out. No, I'm going to do it. I should be able to do that. I've done stuff like that before. Yes, I'm 52 years old, but doggone it, I'm going to grab a root and growl. I straddled that thing again. I pulled my pants up even higher. I went, and I grabbed that thing, and I hurt myself. And I got it up. And then I went, what is that? And I had that for another 2 days. Every time I now watch this. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. I did it. It hurt me. I had to go to the chiropractor. It cost me. I did it. And I survived. I did. Watch this, church. The devil is telling you you can't do what God is calling you to do. And I'm telling you, you can. It may hurt the first couple of times, but as you exercise your Bible study, as you exercise your prayer life, as you exercise your holy living, as you exercise sharing your faith, for one, I am physically to a point I need to call Daryl and some of his friends, you know, type thing, to do stuff. But watch this, church. That's the same in spiritual life, too. If you need some help, call somebody. Don't you back up just because you're afraid you can't. You call somebody. I'll pray for you. I'll counsel with you, whatever the case may be. We need to know that God's will in our life is achievable. Surrender to His will and get excited about the new ground. You're about to learn things about life and God that you couldn't in any other way. The Bethel approach. Bethel, you are a house of God. You have God living inside of you. Watch this. You have the power of heaven at your beck and call. Missionary, we are self-support missionaries to Franklin County and beyond. Baptist, we have certain beliefs that mark God's word in our lives. Church, we have a responsibility to one another. That's why we've already announced these families that need our prayers. Church, make sure your family is saved. Do you know that every one of your family members are saved? Make a prospect list and work through it. Pray, pray, pray. Participate. Lean in. Get in that middle chair. Pour yourself into someone else. Let's stand, musicians. Will you come? Again, I want to remind everybody here, there's very few times that the Holy Spirit says, you need to share your faith, that I go, woohoo, ha-ha. I usually go, oh, you're right, Lord. You're right. We've had a lot of reasons for repairmen to come. I've shared this story over and over and over. This week, no different. Guy comes. He's working on the furnace. There was a problem with the furnace last week, which is why it took so long to heat up. I showed him where to go. I walked away. Couldn't walk away from the Holy Spirit. You off today? Yes, Lord. I went back to him, and now watch this, church. See, this is the beautiful thing about soul winning. You can be honest. I tell my people, almost every week, to use the opportunities that God gives them. So I wouldn't be a very good pastor, sir, if I didn't ask you if you have a home church. He laughed. It's so important, church. And Brother Brad said it last Sunday, walk through the doors that God opens for you. You never know when it may change their life forever. Did you hear about the family? 2 weeks ago, I assume they were on a holiday trip. They died in a plane crash going to Costa Rica. Five family members, mom, dad, three, like a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 13-year-old. Can you imagine showing up in heaven with your entire family? And now you're fixing to go through the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to watch your child get judged. They're going to watch you get judged. Church, I'm begging you, let's make sure that our family is saved. Let's make sure. Let's sing. Will you come? This is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. We'll send someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Will you come?